Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we continue to celebrate Easter. Happy Easter to you. I hope you're experiencing in this great season the truth and the beauty of what Jesus has accomplished for us. The glory and majesty of Jesus, God the Father's beloved Son, you know, the crown of the new creation, the firstborn, Jesus, God's only Son, the only Savior of the world. Friends, the world has a destiny, and that destiny is a design and a purpose, a plan, an economy of God the Father, that we would, believe it or not, as the crown of His amazing creation, that we would share in all that belongs to Him. And the only way that that happens, the only way that it can happen, is for each human being to share in what belongs to Jesus. Jesus is the Father's firstborn Son, His only begotten Son. And Jesus gave a number of gripping parables that we went through during Lent, where He talked about how the religious leaders and how human beings resist God's beloved Son, who He sends to save Him and to tend His vineyard and to bring forth fruit. That is us. He comes to bring forth life and fruit in us, and He's resisted. As in the parables, Jesus said, you know, they killed the one who owned the vineyard. They killed His Son. And that's exactly what happened to Jesus. But God raised Him up, because God's plan that has now been fulfilled in the person of Jesus, Mary's Son, Jesus who took on and shares in Mary's nature and our nature, whose her blood flows through His veins. One of us has passed through death and has entered eternal life. And we know by the church's teaching that Mary, our mother, is the first disciple to share in the glory. And she's made the glory that belongs to Jesus, and He's been able, what an amazing thing to do. He clothed His mother in glory, which is so amazing. And she's the queen of heaven and earth. And what we see is the majestic reality of Jesus' plan and purpose. And the apostles knew it, and they saw it, and they preached it. They didn't just preach Jesus' love, which they did, but they preached the reality of who Jesus is. This is where the church gets in trouble, and this is where the church tends to be too quiet in our day, much of the preaching. We're ready to preach in many ways the love of Jesus, the mercy of Jesus, the tenderness of Jesus, and that's all really good, and that God is love, and that's absolutely true. But what the apostles, you know what the apostles are declaring here? You notice what they're getting in trouble for? Is they're declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord. They're declaring that people need to have their sins forgiven if they're going to enter eternal life with God, and that that forgiveness can only come from one place. It's the person of Jesus. And that is, He's the only one who can give not only the forgiveness of sins, but He's the only one that can give eternal life. This is what the Father has granted to the Son. And salvation is coming into what our destiny is in God. And we don't get there automatically. We don't get there just by virtue of being human. We don't get there because we're nice people. We get there because we receive the new life through the forgiveness of sins and the new life that comes to us in baptism and living in Jesus' body, in His church, and sharing in Jesus' mission, which is exactly what the apostles are doing. Friends, if you haven't had a chance to tune in the program the last few weeks, I've been talking really about this walk through the Acts of the Apostles that the church is leading us through again this year, and what's at the heart of it, and how the same thing that the apostles are experiencing here in chapter 4 of Acts that we're going through, that they're obeying Jesus, they're preaching what I just described, and they're experiencing exactly what Jesus experienced. Jesus was crucified because He unequivocally claimed that He was God's Son and all authority belonged to Him. And everybody needed to repent and to follow Him and to be baptized. He didn't just come to soothe them. He didn't just come to manage the status quo. It wasn't His job to make everybody feel good. Jesus came to tell the truth so people could be saved and live in absolute joy and glory and ecstasy for the rest of their life, for all eternity. And that's what the apostles are doing, and they're being resisted. And the religious leaders are angry because they're declaring the unique authority that belongs to Jesus. And if you didn't tune in yesterday's program, I'd encourage you to do that. And actually go to our website as well. All the programs are archived there at renewalministries.net. Don't forget to tune in to our Sister Ann Shields' wonderful program, Food for the Journey. Our television programs, The Choices We Face, Crossing the Goal, that you can access on our website at renewalministries.net. Don't forget to check out our app, because we've got all kinds of great stuff there, which is lots of talks we've been giving at our recent gatherings. There's talks by Ralph Martin, Sister Ann Shields, myself, Mary Healy, other people. I think that would encourage you and build you up. But I mentioned on yesterday's program that Psalm 2 is the way the apostles were interpreting what was happening to them. And Psalm 2 is that prophetic psalm that talks about how the world resists the rule and the reign of God. There's four basic stanzas there. The first stanza is where the kings of the earth, King David said, he knows they're setting themselves against the Lord and his authority. The rulers of the earth come together and they say, let's throw off his commandments. His commandments are like chains around us. They're cords that bind us. And we can't reach our fulfillment if we're going to live in submission to God, and especially in submission to his Messiah, his King, who he has said, who's the ruler of the human race. Lots of other people, friends, believe it or not, want to rule. And what's behind it all is Satan himself, the demonic one, right? And his minions, and those who are in service to him that are driving and manipulating and conniving, you know, with human hearts that are resisting God against the commandments of God, against the rule of Jesus. Man, brothers and sisters, we need to have eyes to see what's going on. You know what you're seeing. And for many people, I said the other day, I've been traveling around the country and speaking, there's a lot of scared people. And Jesus said, be not afraid. Why does the Bible say that 365 times? Precisely as the apostles understood. You notice in the prayer here in chapter 4, as I ended yesterday's program, they were praying to God after they have been warned and threatened, and they're going to be, you know, they get flogged, and eventually they're going to be martyred. And they're not praying for protection. They're praying for boldness. That's what we should be praying for right now. And they knew where boldness came from. It came from the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So they asked the Father in Jesus' name to give them more of the Holy Spirit, so the boldness within their hearts could grow. Because it's natural when you're standing in the face of what is objectively a fear-inducing, that is, people with power and authority that just crucified your Messiah, he bled to death, your Lord, right before your eyes, they're going to come and do the same thing to you. And it raises up within the emotion of fear. And it's totally normal. And guess what? There's a lot of Catholics and Christians who are growing in fear today because they're seeing, the culture's increasingly getting more and more hostile to things that Jesus taught and the church teaches. So what are some of us doing? Well, some of the baptized are just going subterranean. They're going quiet. They're going mute. And others are backing down. Others are saying, hey, let's just not talk about the things that upset people. Let's just compromise. And why do we do that? Because we're scared. Because we're filled with inordinate self-love. Because we don't want to lose the big gains we've had in this world. We haven't caught on yet to what, like St. Paul said, I count everything I used to think was a big deal. It's all loss in light of the glory of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Nothing compares to him. I'm a fool to hang on in this world, to the things of this world. I can't take them with me. And what matters is what Christ himself has given to me. And walking in his footsteps, and Paul would say, knowing his resurrection and having fellowship in his suffering, that's what I want. That's what I want to know. I want to know the meaning of the power of his resurrection. And the apostles are preaching the power of his resurrection. And the rulers and the religious leaders are saying, stop talking about that. They always will. Why? Because it's very clear, if Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, that everything he said about himself is absolutely true, that he's the Lord. And friends, don't kid yourself. All the freedom, you know, all the declaration from the beautiful people in the world, the powerful people, the super smart people, you know, that are setting themselves against the Christian worldview, that are now putting God in the dock and saying the God of the Old Testament, if this is God, I wouldn't follow him. The God of the New Testament who declares himself as Lord. The only Jesus we want is a Jesus that's reduced and fits into our world, that allows me to have the comfort I want, the worldview I want, the lifestyle I want, the friends I want, the social status I want, the amount of money I want to use it the way I want to use it, all that stuff. There's a lot of that among the baptized. And Jesus is permitting a corrective, a redemptive discipline to come on the church, to purify the church, because we're not preaching like the apostles preached. We're not standing in great confidence in the lordship and majesty of Jesus. There's a ton of compromise, and there's a ton of soft talk, easy talk, and turning away, and preaching stuff that we know we're not going to get hurt if we preach, that it's going to be okay, people are going to like us. Jesus is exposing that in us. It's a sickness. It's poison. It's sinful. It's cowardice. And it's compromise. Did you know that in the book of Revelation, one of the vice lists that's there in the New Testament, the New Testament has these different places that said, you know, who is it that won't enter the kingdom of heaven? It actually says the cowardly there. Now, it doesn't say those who have the emotion of fear. Our emotions are going to rise. A coward is somebody who gives into those emotions in the face of what you know to be true, and you back away from what you know to be true. You back away from your baptismal and confirmation commitment. You back away from the assignment that the Lord has given you. You back away. You don't want to know more about that stuff. You don't want to be deployed by the Lord in this battle right now, because as you're stacking it up, you don't like it. You don't like the cost that's coming your way. And then Jesus said, remember, right? The Holy Spirit hopefully is pricking our conscience and saying, wait a minute, didn't you sign on to be a follower of Jesus? And didn't Jesus say, before you do that, count the cost? Because this is going to cost you everything. If you're not ready to take up your cross, to deny yourself, to follow me, don't come. Don't come just because it seems nice, or don't come just because you want to throw me a bone, or you want to buy some fire insurance for your life. That's not enough. Come because you believe me. You believe who I am. You believe I'm the only way to salvation. Come because you love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Come because you understand to be a disciple is to be not greater than the master, but to actually inherit everything that belongs to the master, not just his glory, but his suffering. Jesus made it clear to us that we have to go through the cross to glory. And the cross is coming upon the church even in America now. And it's going to increase, friends. It's going to increase around the world. There's no escaping it. So this season, don't just celebrate the resurrection, but come to terms and listen to the apostles and look at their lifestyle. Look what's happening to them. That's what Jesus said would happen to everybody who is identified with him, because there's a stigma now that's upon us, that's coming upon the church, to be radically identified with Jesus and his absolute claim to total authority. Tomorrow, we're going to take a look at another part of Psalm 2, that King David, the words of God the Father and King David, it'll really surprise you about his response to the leaders that are raging against the Lord. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burak's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.